Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Ask any Christian woman if she's a Mary or a Martha. Believe me, she'll have an answer at the ready. I confess, I'm a Mary at heart, but a Martha in motion. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here in the Faith Radio Network, we look at stories of biblical characters. Now, recently, we've been parked on the bad girls of the Bible and the really bad girls of the Bible. I thought today we'd look at one of the good girls. Now, good is in quotes because of what Jesus said. No one is good except God alone. So maybe we'll call her one of the admirable girls of the Bible. Her name is Martha, and we'll find her in the Bible in Luke 10. Beginning with verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village, later we find out Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Her home. So not her parents' home. It would suggest that her parents are no longer living. Suggests, doesn't tell us. And that she's the oldest in the family because this is her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Literally, listening to the word of him. She wasn't just hearing his voice. She was hearing the word. No wonder she is speechless here, just listening. But, verse 40 says, you know I love the word but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Yeah, distracted, we know what that looks like. Martha didn't need an internet or a smartphone for her to be, as the Amplified says, overly occupied and too busy to pay attention to their honored guest. Martha was doing good things, okay? Good things, godly things, useful things, but the verse continues, she came to him and asked. Now look, this is not as polite as it sounds. The Phillips says she burst in. The Message tells us she was interrupting. The LRV, you remember that translation, right? LRV, Lizzie, Revised Version. She was all up in Jesus' face. And she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Really, Martha? No one cares like Jesus. And yet, we get this. If you've ever slaved away in the kitchen while your family or guests were having fun in the living room, you understand how she felt. I have to be honest, it's a little different at my house. I'm trying to think how to put this. Cooking impaired. When my kids were little, if I got near the stove, they said, hot, hot. You got the idea. But Martha was a real cook, and so she demanded, tell her to help me. Boy, there is nothing like bossing around the creator of the universe. You have to wonder if Jesus shook his head when he said her name twice. Martha, Martha. I'm shaking my head as I say it. Isn't that how you hear it? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Also translated, you're fretting and you're fussing. Now listen, Jesus wasn't unhappy that she was cooking. I mean, seriously, blessed are the pizza makers. Isn't that in the Beatitudes somewhere? His men needed to eat, all these people that followed him. They were hungry. The food was a good thing. Here was the problem. Martha thought what she was doing was more important than what Mary was doing. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to service to the Lord, we always get in trouble when we compare. Jesus told Martha, few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Verse 42. Sorry, just one, just him. Just Jesus. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She's chosen what is better. It's just, if you're looking at the two, this is what really matters in the long run. I do think it's possible, by the way, to cook and praise the Lord. To cook and serve the Lord, absolutely. And understand, Jesus loved both sisters. He didn't favor one personality over the other. Do not hear that. That is not the takeaway we should get from the Mary Martha story. He also wasn't suggesting that women could serve him in only one way. He was simply saying, listening to his word is the better choice. And boy, is that a lesson for us today. You could watch this Netflix movie, or you could spend some time in God's Word. Which one is better. Okay, it doesn't make the one bad. It just makes one of them better. So our next scene with the two sisters is in Bethany, and their brother Lazarus is dying. So the Bible says, John 11:3, the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Interesting. The one you love. I think they might be hoping to capture his sympathy here. Because the truth is, the Bible says so, he loved all three of them. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I love that they're broken down like that. It doesn't just say he loved those Bethany people. Nope. Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Not sure why Mary's not named there, but we'll worry about that another time. And Lazarus. Three people, individually. That's how Jesus loves, the same way he loves you and me. It's incredible. These were, please understand, three ordinary people. Jesus didn't love them because they were special. They were special because Jesus loved them. The Amplified says they were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, all right, now John 11:6, we're thinking, okay, now that he knows Lazarus is sick, he's going to hightail it back to Bethany. That's not what happens. The Bible says Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. Okay, so he got the news, but he didn't move. Why? Because we have a miracle in the making. And miracles take time. God's time. The perfect time. See, people had witnessed Jesus healing wounds, curing diseases, casting out demons, banishing blindness, and they had seen him raise people from the dead. But those who had just passed, this time, his followers needed to see that resurrection was possible even after several days in the tomb. Why do you think he needed to show him that? Yeah, exactly. So he had a great reason to wait. But for poor Mary and Martha and Lazarus, wait was a very hard word to hear. Here's the truth about waiting. Just in case you are in a waiting room right now, he is with us in the waiting. He has a plan. Even if it's not our plan, we can be very sure it's a good plan. Because he, a loving God, loves us. Little personal aside here, in June I was diagnosed with endometrial cancer. Oh, ain't we got fun. And I told my family, obviously, when the diagnosis came down, and just a handful of close friends, maybe 6 people. And God said, stop. That's enough. I want you to lean on me, Liz. I want you to depend on me. I want you to trust me. Now, that was hard because I was ready to tell the world and get an army of prayer warriors standing with me. But God said, no. And now I understand several months later why. Because last summer I understood, finally, that all the things I've been teaching these last 36 years are true. He is faithful, friend, and he will never leave you. He is good, a refuge in times of trouble, and he cares for those who trust in him. And so I had surgery and radiation and chemo, and I did finally tell the world, you have to when your hair falls out. And then we thought we were done, and then 3 weeks ago, early February, they found, with a scan, a new tumor. Okay, so we're in cancer 2.0 now, but trust me, God is with me still. 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. I love how the New Living puts this, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. So that, 2 Corinthians continues, the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Friends, I am standing on this verse right now. I am carrying around in my body the awareness of death, but in particular the death of Jesus, because he rose again. And that's the point. We walk around confessing, yes, I will die, but I will rise from the dead because Jesus did. I will live eternally because Jesus did. God is so faithful, friends. And so a couple of weeks of radiation are already over, and I am praying that the only thing glowing in me is Jesus. And thanks for your prayers, by the way. So the truth is, whether he spares us or he challenges us or he walks us through, this is a God we can trust even when he asks us to wait. Well, finally, John 11:7, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Look how carefully he chooses his words. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." John 11:11. Now, bless the disciples, because of course they took this literally and they said, if Lazarus stays in bed, he'll surely get better. Yeah, he would, except they don't understand what Jesus is really saying. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." John 11:14. Death sounds so final. Oh, but it is anything but with Jesus. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs as we learn more about Martha. If you want to listen again, start at the beginning, listen another time. We get that. We got a podcast waiting for you at myfaithradio.com and on my website at lizcurtishiggs.com. While you're over there, please connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter. Check out Martha's delicious Pinterest board. Sign up for my monthly Bible study. And check out some of my books. The Women of Easter is what we're thinking about just now, our source of today's teaching, though of course our source is the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Hope is what Jesus offered his disciples. Hope is what he offers us, even in the face of death, when all seems lost, as it certainly was in the case of Lazarus. And he says to his disciples, "And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." John 11:15. "So that you may trust and rely." Or the New Living says, "Now you will really believe." Now, these are his disciples. Aren't they already believers? Well, sure, in the same way you and I might be. Go to church, listen to a sermon, put money in the offering plate, and pray. But Jesus wants us to take a bigger leap of faith. He wants us to trust him in every circumstance. And believe me, he is trustworthy. I know it in my heart, I know it in my life, but mostly I know it in the Word. Psalm 145:13 says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does." We can certainly trust Jesus to bring about a very happy ending here. On his arrival in Bethany, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days, John 11:17. Okay, this is important. Why 4 days? Because it all adds up. He needed 1 day for the messenger to reach him. They were out of town. 2 days, remember, Jesus tarried. Then it takes another day for Jesus to return to Bethany. And this is more than simple math. Here's the thinking. Some Jews believed that the soul stayed near the body for up to 3 days after death. But on the fourth day, the soul departed and the body was truly dead. This is neither scientific nor biblical, but it is what some Jews believed. And so, knowing that, Jesus waits 4 days so that Lazarus is truly dead. His soul is departed. There's no way anybody will believe he can be raised from the dead until they see it with their own eyes. Friends, this is the dress rehearsal for Easter, and obviously not so Jesus could practice, but so that his people could see with their own eyes that a resurrection, even after several days in the grave, was possible. So Martha and Mary are in the house with the mourners. Martha gets word, apparently, that Jesus is coming, and so she runs out and greets him. And this is what she says, John 11:21. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay, this is where I want the audio Bible, because, I mean the real one that would be trustworthy, because you wonder, how did she say this? What was she thinking? What was her tone of voice? Is she scolding Jesus? Is she mad? Is she disappointed? Is she frustrated, confused? What is behind these words? We can tell by what she says next. It's none of the above. She's not scolding him. She's not angry. Listen to what she says next, John 11:22. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Woohoo! That's a woman of faith talking right there. I know, no question in her mind, no doubt, that God will. God is able, and not only that, he will give you whatever you ask, including, I think she's suggesting, a resurrection from the dead. I love this woman. See, we so often get parked on Martha back in the first story about how she was working instead of listening. But see, Martha has grown. We're a little further along now in the story, and Martha has grown. She gets it. She believes. Her faith is strong. Then the Lord pushed her faith to the next level. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Ooh, I am? Yeah, Martha heard that one loud and clear. And then he asks her, John 11:26, do you believe this? This, of course, means all of it, who he is, why he came, what that matters, why that matters, really, and what it means to his people. At this point, Martha makes an amazing confession of faith. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Wow, I believe. She is speaking her heart. She is speaking from the deepest place in her being. Jesus said to her, I am, and Martha said, you are. And here's, I just have to say this. It's a woman speaking. It's pretty exciting. It's not Peter or John here. This is a woman proclaiming who God is and why he came. Wow, we can do the same thing, of course, that Martha did. We can profess our faith and proclaim his truth. Well, after Martha's aha moment with Jesus, I love this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. This is very special to me because instead of fussing at her sister, she's encouraging her sister. Martha whispered the news in Mary's ear. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. John 11:28. It's so generous of Martha. She is making sure Mary, who loves Jesus, knows that she's wanted. She's a changed woman, not complaining. I just love it. So Mary, the Bible tells us, jumped up, sprang, rose, in the RSV, pick your translation, but it's the same Greek word as the Lord's resurrection. Even before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus raised Mary from her mourning. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Well, of course she did, because that's what Mary of Bethany loved to do. We found her at his feet when we met her, listening, and now she fell at his feet. And it's, wait, do you see what she says? John 11:32. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. An echo, eh? I mean, those are the exact same words. I looked them up in the Greek, side by side. The exact same words that Martha said. What's interesting is these are the only words of Mary of Bethany that are recorded in the Bible. I don't mean that's all she said. It's just all that's recorded for us in Scripture. Also translated, I wish you had been here. My brother would not have died. Is she trying to make him feel guilty? Or is she feeling like the guilty one? I suspect it's the second. And only because I have buried so many people. Three brothers. Mom, dad, grandparents, friends. And after someone that you love dies, that's when the if-onlys start, don't they? If only I'd called that morning. If only I'd stopped by on my way to work. If only I'd helped him stay in his meds. If only I'd made more time for her. These are the things we tell ourselves, but don't go there, beloved. God knows the hour of each person's passing. Whatever you did or didn't do, the timing of that loved one's departure, that was God's alone. It is well. It is well. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, John 11:33, hard to watch somebody weep, even a stranger. If you see someone crying, it's hard. But, if it's someone you love, then it's really difficult. Jesus loved Mary of Bethany, so naturally he was affected by her tears. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, the word tells us, visibly distressed. Anger welled up within him. Anger? Yeah, that's closest to the Greek in the New Living. Anger welled up within him. Where have you laid him, he asked. Was he angry about Mary's tears or unhappy about her lack of faith? Oh, no. No, this is our compassionate Savior. He was angry with death itself and the grave's power to rob people of their joy and their peace and especially their hope. And so this beautiful two-word verse that we all learned, because it's the shortest, right? John 11:35, Jesus wept. He did. The Son of God wept. Even knowing how the story is going to end, Jesus wept. When we suffer, he suffers with us. When we grieve, he grieves. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. John 11:36. See how he loves you? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. That's familiar sounding, right? A tomb? A stone? Take away the stone, he said, John 11:39. Now the next line, at this very serious moment, I have to be honest, is really funny. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, just to kind of remind us, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. The New Living says, the smell will be terrible, but you got to love the King James. By this time, he stinketh. I love this woman. She's so practical. And remember, she's still a hostess. She did not want to offend her guests. All she was thinking is, why didn't I bring the Febreze? Why didn't I bring the Febreze? No need to worry. Jesus tells her in John 11:40, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Trust me, God's glory is a fragrant aroma, the sweetest perfume. So they took away the stone. We're not told who, but the people who were there, they took away the stone. We can imagine them quickly backing up, either afraid of that smell or afraid of what's going to happen next. Then Jesus looked up and he talked to God to show them where their hope and their help was going to come from. Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out, John 11:43. Did you hear the gasp? You know what happened. This man has been dead for 4 days. Never in the history of the world, has such a miracle been seen. The dead man came out. Did he now? Well, he's not dead anymore. If he came out of the grave, he's walking. Lazarus is alive. Now, there is a difference from this resurrection, obviously, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because Lazarus is still mortal. He will die again. You got to wonder at the second funeral if people said, look, I'm not sending flowers. but at the moment, Lazarus was very much alive. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus set him free. And this is what he wants to do for us, beloved. He wants us to take off the grave clothes, our old, dead, before we knew him, life. Take off those grave clothes and let go. Let go of your doubts. Let go of your fears. Let go of your worries and experience new life in Him. This story is so powerful because it not only points to the resurrection of Jesus, but to our own as well. And He is speaking to us now through His word, saying, take off your grave clothes. Well, you've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Listen again on the podcast if you like, myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com. You'll also find a short study guide waiting for you there as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this woman's story. Martha teaches us a lot about growth. She teaches us how we can change. We can become more like Christ. Help us do so, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.